I am happy to announce our 2024 Banking with Life client-only event. It's going to happen Friday, October 25th, beginning with a pre-event social mixer. The day of the event is Saturday the 26th, followed by an after party. It's going to happen downtown Fort Worth. I will be speaking there. Others will be speaking as well. You'll have the opportunity to meet me, and I'm looking forward to meeting you. You'll have the opportunity to meet the whole Banking with Life team and a room full of people that practice the infinite banking concept from all over the country. Last year, we had about 130 people from 30 different states. The year before that was really good, too. This year is going to be even better. We're going to have educational presentations and talks, and that should be important to you if you're practicing the infinite banking concept. I can't wait to see you. Welcome to the Bank of Life podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery. I'm excited about today's show, even though it's not a long form episode. What we've done, we've gone back and taken clips from previously released episodes on particular topics and points. I think they're powerful. I think they're worth listening to. So thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy. I'm just trying to expose them to the idea that, you know, they can become their own banker and they can control their capital. And if they do, because the banking function exists, banking is, it exists and it's profitable, right? And so if you don't control the banking function as it relates to you and your life, you're going to abdicate your responsibility to someone else who will perform the banking function and they will be profitable. So thank you for that. Let me say on executive life, I didn't realize this, and it was last year, right? And most people I think are unaware of like the, guarantee association system, you know, life insurance companies can't go bankrupt, but they're managed or ran by the state, governed by the state, you know, then you have the overarching federal, you know, big brother. But the bottom line is your state's broke, my state's broke. And so the state doesn't really come in there and guarantee, you know, if a life insurance company becomes insolvent, which they determine, right, if they're insolvent. And then there's only two choices. You're either going to, they're going to give them a certain amount of time to bring their finances up to date, or they're going to liquidate them, right, or they're going to rehabilitate them, right, if the company doesn't do that. So, and my point here is when they get liquidated, right? So there's a primary guarantee of all life insurance companies backed up by the claims paying ability of the insurance company. A secondary guarantee, and this is not a reason to purchase life insurance. I'm just explaining, have a conversation with my friend, that the secondary guarantees are through these guarantee associations, yeah, that are the state. They're state agencies. So, but if your state's broke and my state's broke, where are they going to get the money? And I get they have the power to tax. They offset that loss to every other legal reserve life insurance company doing business in that state.
I like to be solutions to people's problems. Sure. But that comes with having access to capital and having a place that you've systematically been storing it, which is what the infinite banking concept, since, you know, my learnings began, and then, you know, the saw keeps continues to be sharpened with you and people like you. It's really refreshing to knowing that you have this war chest that's continuously being built. So there's a lot of freedom in that. There's a lot of peace in that.
There's so many, I want to say intangible, but they're really not intangible. There are intangible, but there are many tangible benefits to having access to capital that you control without a required approval from anyone. I mean, that's just one benefit, you know. And then the discipline of the systematic accumulation formation of capital kind of put a path or direction, a purpose, you know, to your capital, and then what that requires, you know, you're part of that purpose. Mm-hmm. Right, there's a lot of benefits to that, in my opinion. I believe if you can convey the power of the infinite banking concept and you have a firm understanding of dividend paying whole life insurance, because that's what we're using when we talk about the infinite banking concept, and you can convey the power of Nelson's work, I don't need to enter into an abusive relationship with a prospective client. Like, you know, I'm going to die if I don't get that case delivered or paid on that case. It's like, you do what you want to do. I mean, it's so simple to me. If you convey, and I'm not saying I'm an expert, I don't have the ability to convey to the point where I think I should be able to convey, you know, so I'm just saying, if you can convey the power of the infinite banking concept, and you know, or understand, and you know, and understand, and can convey the power of dividend paying whole life insurance without getting lost in the weeds. And I don't care about all these marketers on IMO that say become your own bank and do this and do that, and then talk broadly about properly structured. I get it. And those who don't buy into the IMO, those in the financial services industry who don't buy into the IMO, don't understand how to properly build a policy. Yeah. Since this will go publicly, I'm going to be a gentleman. And it's like, go educate yourself. So I'll use the E word.
Yeah.
Go educate yourself.
I've normally only had checking and savings with a bank, but now there was like some special where if I deposited X amount of dollars and opened a brand new money market account, I would get the same interest rate, which is about 0.5%, a little over 0.5% for anything, any amount, versus that 0.5% is reserved for deposits of like $250,000 and up, if I took advantage of it. So I did, because I need a place to park my money until my PUA is due. So why not let it stew and marinate and earn a little interest for 10 months before I make my PUA and my loan payments? But my loan payments I make more regularly because of accrued interest. But little things like that, it's starting to help not only with my discipline, but taking better care of my money. And I'm able to do that because I'm, to a certain extent, controlling the banking function as what the book is telling you to do. If you can control it, who better than yourself to work toward your best interest, right? Is Visa working in my best interest? You know, are these credit card companies GM financing whatever? No, but the more control you can have, the better. And like I said, the book, your team, I feel very, not only comfortable, but confident that I'm on the right path.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough, you know, to with helping me with this and giving me the opportunity to kind of, you know, spread the word, share my story that hopefully helps some people get through the noise. Because I was confused. I was lost. Like I said, I gave up for a few months because it's like I don't understand why they're arguing. Aren't they all IBC practitioners? Why are they arguing against each other, right? And now I have a clear understanding. You know, the noise and the fog is lifting, and you know, I really feel good about where I'm at and where I'm going.
I love that. I feel good about it too.
Yep.
You know that if the money market account, you know, it's really adding form. Kind of, it's just adding structure to your cash flows, right? It's an extension of your banking system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does add form and clarity to the flow of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simple. It's an account,
right?
You know, and I'm just saying the value exceeds the simplicity that you're controlling it. You know, your actions, your thought process. I mean, all of that accrues to you and to your beneficiaries. All of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot put that anywhere on a life insurance illustration.
Right.
You can't put the value. Can we put a 0.5%, you know, on the money market account? Yeah. But the form, the clarity, the discipline that encourages, it's I don't want to say priceless, but it's dang near priceless. It just adds a lot more value than you think.
Right. You know, right.
So, all right. Well, you're very nice, very complimentary, and I'm very appreciative. I am so appreciative of the people that reach out, because what I hear every day, day in and day out, and it's a little negative stuff that, you know, try to keep off of you.
But, yeah.
And that's rare. What I hear consistently every day is, James, thank you for your effort. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your education. Thank you for what you're doing. And every day I hear how positive and competent and pleasant the staff here is, the team. They're like, oh my gosh, do you realize you need to give them a raise? You need to give them a bonus. You need to give them a raise. And I'm like, yes, I know. Everybody here is underpaid. I get it. And that is like, they probably don't hear it as much as I do. It's like, man, Carol this and Julie that and Cammie this and Jake that. It's just, thank you. Very positive. And it is such a difference as a financial person trying to sell a product, right?
Selling a product.
And nothing wrong with salesmen. You know, I'm just saying that compared to properly educating and clarifying, because they've done their homework. They've done their legitimate research, Nelson Nash's work, right? And some others. I mean, I'm not saying there's not good things popping up on the right, but you got to walk through an awful lot of trash to get to some value, my opinion. When you take the time, you know, I don't know how many times I've had people say, thank you, James, for mentioning the 8-hour seminar of Nelson. It's like, oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Then they come and it's like, I just, like you mentioned earlier, I have a couple of questions. I think I understand this, but I just need clarification on this or that. And it's like, how much can I pay? I mean, get it.
Oh, yeah.
And how am I going to expand? There's this, 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 and this. How it's it makes work pleasant. Mm-hmm.
Audience capture is a self-reinforcing feedback loop that involves telling one's audience what they want to hear and getting rewarded for it. And I think that a lot of the financial marketing type people on social media are captured by their audience.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think a lot of the whole short-term thinking type paradigm, you know, maximum cash value relative to premium as soon as possible right now. Let me find an advisor who's just going to say yes and give me that. Maybe we'll look at, you know, we'll run some illustrators, do some quotes across a couple different companies and find the one that spits out the best number. And that's what I want. So find an agent to validate that, give them that, and then say yes. And then the agent gets paid, so he gets rewarded for it.
Yes.
Right? So captured by the audience and rewarded for it.
Yes.
It's kind of like, it kind of goes hand in hand with this idea of commodification.
Yes.
Where we have either a set premium structure or just a set cookie cutter, copy paste, drag and drop way of repeating things.
They all look the same.
Yeah. Don't let the details confuse you. Like, let's just do the same thing with different people. It's a commodity. It's standardized. And, well, of course we might want to do that because, you know, you don't have a service relationship for your grocery purchase, right? If you
don't
go purchase commodities, you're getting the thing. It's a head of lettuce. It's lettuce. You know, what do you need a service person for? It's a life insurance, but it's a policy. What do I need a service person for? It's just, I'm just buying this thing and it's done. You know, I've got some money. I've heard two different times this week, I've got X number of money. I'm ready to put that into a policy.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that kind of implies a cartoon caricature of what a life insurance policy is.
You might want to learn about this concept in a more in-depth way than even this episode, maybe 30 minutes tops. I happen to have about 500 videos on the Banking with Life channel, and there is really good content there. A lot of nuance, a lot of education, and that could be a resource for you to go to learn. But nothing takes the place of the infinite banking concept as created, discovered by R. Nelson Nash, my late friend and mentor. He wrote a book called Becoming Your Own Banker. So I think you should go there. He also wrote a second book called Building Your Warehouse of Wealth. And so I just want to talk about banking today. And if some of these things that I'm saying are true, prove me wrong to see if they're true, right? Is banking the oldest profession in the world or not? Is banking the most profitable profession in the world or not? And if it is, or it happens to be, we should maybe, I mean, it might be of interest to us to learn about the banking system and about banking. And banking, in the manner in which I'm speaking, is nothing more than the movement of money, deposits, withdrawals, loans, loan repayments, the movement of money, and then controlling that banking function in your life. How much of that banking function do you control? Can you control, or do you even wish to control? And my encouragement is that you can learn how to become your own banker, and it's really, really simple. I'm not saying that you can listen to a 30-minute episode of anything and be able to embrace it and implement it and what have you. So the infinite banking concept uses dividend-paying whole life insurance as a place to put money, right? Your capital reserves. Well, if you look at a bank and consider what the capital stock of a bank is money. So before you get into the banking function or control, getting to the banking business or controlling the banking function, you have to have a stockpile of money. You've got to have a pile of money. Where should you pile your money up? It's a fair question, right? Maybe you want to put it in the stock market to get a rate of return. Maybe you want to put it into real estate, you know, to have an income. And there's so many places that you can put your money. You know as well as I do, there's a demand for your money, right? And I've always said money's like a horse. If you don't give it a job, it'll wander away from you, right? So if the capital stock of a bank is money, maybe we should consider piling up our money somewhere. And if you think about that, well, of course, it sounds easy, James, and, it makes sense. I know it's difficult. I understand it could be very difficult, right? Your money must reside somewhere, though. You're piling up money somewhere. Might be a little pile, might be a big pile, but it's residing somewhere. Right, if we want to become our own banker, if we embrace this idea of becoming your own banker, as R. Nelson Nash taught in his book, Becoming Your Own Banker, maybe we should learn a little bit about what he encouraged you to consider, which was purchasing dividend-paying whole life insurance.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.